necesito hoy más que nunca, Señor. Quiero decirte, I want to tell you, yes, te amo más que nunca.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you love him today more than yesterday? And you're going to love him tomorrow more than today, right? But you're in the right place then. So the more you love him, the more you know him, and the more you do. More you do his word. Obedience to his word. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's very known to you. I'm not going to preach anything that you don't already know. You know, the only thing different is that I am the one preaching it. That's the only new thing, okay? In fact, it is an old guy doing a new thing. No, you laugh about that one, okay? So that's the only difference, so. But we don't have nothing new to bring you. We're going to remind you what the Bible says. That's all I'm going to be faithful enough to remind you. This is what God said. And we remind you until you do it. No, you do it anyway. Well, that is how it works. As parents, that's what we do with our kids. Sure. Don't do that. Oh, I'm sorry. And 5 minutes later, don't do that. Oh, I'm sorry. And until, you know, we know it comes a day, they grow, and it will do it less and less and less and less. But we got to be patient, right? Patient. So, let's read here. He said, "Thor, I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I have no charity. I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I had to give for prophecy and understand all mysteries," Paul just came talking about the unity and diversity of gift in the body in chapter 12. Now he said, well, I'm going to show you an excellent way. So he started, you know, doing this. That it doesn't matter if you have all these gifts. He says, prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and thought I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. I have no charity. I am nothing. And thought I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. You can do all the service you want to do. You can go to a kitchen and feed all the homeless. And thought I give my body to be burned and have no charity. He says, it profit me nothing. Then, verse 8, charity never failed. But whether they are prophecy, they shall fail. Whether they are tongues, they shall fail. Seas, languages, whatever there's knowledge, it shall vanish away. 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for bringing us together. We thank you for your love and your kindness and your care, your protection. Thank you for bringing us this far, and we trust you for the rest. Now, Father, teach us the things that we ought to know, not only knowing but to do, and let your spirit bring the purpose that you bring this word to come and be a part of our life, Father. Because we don't want to be only listeners, but we want to be hearers of your word. Not only hearers, but doers of your word, Father. We love you and we thank you. We would our pastor, Lord, wherever he's at, keep him and strengthen him and give him wisdom to continue the journey and to do the right thing and preach for the people so they can be blessed. Father, bless us as well. Here in this congregation, those that are here, those that are not, we ask you to bless them as well. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. You can be seated. I'm not going to talk about love. If you want to hear about love, Brother Doug did a good job explaining chapter 13. So you want to know what all this mean in chapter 13, just go and get the tape, okay? That's not my reason for that. My reason is my curiosity got piqued when, you know, Paul gets to the end and he says, and now about it, faith, hope, and charity. Why? He's going to show me an excellent way. Now, we know that love is indispensable. We need love. But he didn't finish it that way. He said it is the greatest among those two. Why? Because love by itself do not work. Okay? That's what the denomination's saying. But God is love. And he's not going to kill me. And he's going to save me. You know, and some people in this message, they say, well, everything that that Brother Branham love and everything that love team is going to be there. You know, it's going to be a rude awakening one of these days. Love by itself will not work. If it was so, what did Paul put faith and hope? It takes, God is perfected in what? In three, not in one. So love by itself is not the only thing that we need. We need faith and we need hope. However, after we leave here and the rapture happens, then we're going to need no faith and we're going to need no hope. That's what he said. And the one that will remain is the capstone. When it comes down, it will be love. But what I'm trying to show you here, that just before the rapture, there must be hope, there must be faith, and there must be love in the body. Okay? That is what I want to show you. That's the trilogy. That's the perfect, you know, plan of God. So, because I want to know, I always want to know what I am and what is supposed to be happening. See, we can do all the gift. We can have all the gift. But if I don't have any love, you know, they don't do nothing. You know, he says over here, it profit me nothing. You can speak in tongues. You have no mysteries. You know, and you have love. You don't have love, it profits you nothing. But you can have love and you don't have faith, it profits you nothing. And you can have faith and you cannot have hope, or you don't have love, it profits you nothing. You have to have all three of them until the day of the rapture. Then you keep the last one. That is the greatest one. See where I'm going? And understand? Capiche? Okay. German. Where's German? Yeah. So, let me tell you what Brother Branham said in 1957, 03:22. Hear ye him. But we find that Jesus taking Peter, James, and John. Now I would like to look at this just a moment. Watch. The three people are always with him in miracles. See, when he raised the daughter of Jairus, he took with him these three, Peter, James, and John. It represented hope, faith, and charity. So they had to be present. Love was not enough. You had to have all three present. Because in the mouth of three witnesses, my word will be established, not in the mouth of one. God will not break his word, and not at this point. So it's a charity. And this says, it represents hope, faith, charity. Peter was faith, James was hope, John was charity. And he taken these three because it is written in the law, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So you think God is going to change it now? No, before we get to the end, those three things better be in the body. You can't forget about the gift. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to do away with the gift. Brother Brown says, give me love, you know, a church full of love than gift. Why? You know, people have taken that out of context. Brother Brown was not against the gift. But if there is no love, what do you want gifts for? That's all it was. So, but if you have love and you have faith, and then you have hope, you can have all the gifts you want to. You can operate a gift without these three, and you still not profit you anything. It might profit the person that get healed. Maybe you got a gift of help, and the person that you help, he might take your $20 and run away, but it profit you nothing. You lost $20, that's all. Because your motive, without love, your motive is incorrect. Without faith, your motive is incorrect. The only correct way to do things is by love, because he loved the world. No, he sent his son. It was love. By the love that was, by the joy, he died for us. He says, about it, hope, he says, 21, and we find that God up to the mountain, okay, the Mount Transfiguration is what he's talking about. And these three gifts, hope, faith, and charity, almost cover the whole sphere of gift. So if you can have love and faith and hope, it covers the rest of the gifts. But without these, it doesn't matter what all this you have here. Because it becomes a human understanding, reasoning, and logic. See? The purpose they're doing it is for popularity, money, or whatever they want to do it. It's not because they love the brother or they love the people. Brother Branham was saying I was talking about a brother in church. He says that brother had a faith like a bulldog. And he apologized because he didn't want to offend. The guy says, you know, a bulldog, you know, when it grab you, it grab you. It won't let go. This brother had that kind of a faith. He will go out there and he grab a sister or whatever, start praying until, you know, he charge and until that devil will come out or whatever it is. I mean, he will not let go. I mean, even if he had to, you know, bite the the devil in the ankles or whatever. But he will not let go until. Now, Brother Brown says, but that's him. I cannot do it that way. See? Because Brother Brown needed to have compassion. Brother Brown identified with the suffering of the people. Brother Brown loved the people. Even though when that man in Mexico came with no shoe, he got next to him. He needed to feel his suffering. See, he needed to love them. See, he said, that's all right for him. That is the way he's going to do it. But that's not the way I do it. Because we got to love per people in order to do the things that we need to do. He says, if we find that in the mountain, these three gifts, hope, faith, and charity, almost cover the whole sphere of the gift. Charity being the greatest of the greatest, love. And while they went up in the mountain, the God sent down three from heaven to give witness in heaven. Some great event. We know Elijah, you know, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. See, in heaven and in the earth, we have these other three apostles. The great event was just about to take place. And I believe tonight, now that was then, in 1957, we're talking 61 years. And I believe tonight that one of the greatest events that the world has ever known is just about to take place. Mount Zion showdown. That was a showdown there, and it's going to be another one. But these three things better be present. You cannot do it without those three witnesses in your life. In the church, has to be full of faith, hope, and love. And it has to be genuine. I'm not talking about some fake things. He says, look at the world in the condition that it is in. That was 61 years ago. What condition you think it is today? So we should be manifesting love, faith, and hope. He says, a spiritual adoption there after obedience, because Jesus Christ, of course, he learned obedience through sacrifices. He said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the best witness that stood on the earth. See, love, Peter, James, and John. Hope, faith, and charity. Under the witness of hope, under the witness of faith, under the witness of love. And this church, like any other church, in this message, we better start witnessing those three things if we want to get out of here. He said, witness love. God placed his son positionally in the public of all three greatest manifestations, hope, faith, and love, that the world will ever know. He's going to do it again. Just before the rapture, it will be Mount Zion showdown. And the only thing that's going to be there is faith, hope, and love. Without that, it will not work. But it will work. Now, I'm going to skip these other two. I have two more quotes, but I'm... Excuse me. So, well, let me read you this one. 63. The spoken word is the original sin. The messenger of Malachi 4 will appear at God's appointed time. Did he appear? Yes. We are looking for him. Did he come? Yes, we've seen him. We believe he will come. He came. This is according to the word. Yes, it is. It will be at the end of time. This is where we are. We believe he will come, that is according to his word at the end of time, which is the time now for to see it. He will be correctly dedicated to the word as they have always been indicated by God, were and vindicated. He was vindicated. God will vindicate what he preaches. That happens. to be the truth, as he did with Elijah, for it is Elijah coming, making ready for the Mount Zion rapture. So what would we have left? He came, he left, the word is vindicated, so what do we have left to do? Mount Zion shutdown. He says, Mount Zion rapture, you said, in the last days it will be like Lot's time. It is. One more. At the end of time evangelism, the old sheep of Zion is in the blocks now. Not in the block, in the blocks. I don't know if you know anything about building a boat, but they put them in blocks, you know, and they start building them, you know, and then when they get ready, they push them into the water. So that's what he's saying. It's already built and ready to go, he says. And it isn't going to be long till she will be calling. And all of a sudden, they will have a newspaper out. What happened? Hundreds of people across the nation disappeared. So that's where we are. And that's how urgent. I just gave you that so you can connect with the urgency of having these things, because this thing has to happen before we leave. And I think we are closer than we were 61 years ago. So I want you to know that it is an urgency to find out if we do have in our midst those three things. Because without it, we are not living. Or if the God leave, we're not going, period. Now, let's talk about faith and hope and love. We have made the connection. Faith, the definition says, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, Mount Zion will be the culmination of our faith and hope and not our love. But after that, we will not need it any longer. But that is where we're going to end. See? So, then faith is the substance. What is a substance? That is the essence. You know, a substance is a reality. See? A substance is a reality that we hope for. For the things not seen. It is a real thing. And not the Coca-Cola, but the real thing is this one. It's so real that we need him more than our daily bread. See, it's so real. God has to be real in your life. In such a way that you're going to need him more than your bread. That you're going to need him more than sleeping. That you're going to need him more than anything. I want more, more, more. The more you want, the more he give you, the more you want. Until you come to the point that sometimes we cannot even sleep seeking the wisdom of God in our life. He will feed us with his word of life. He give us refreshing living waters. As David said, as the deer panted after the waters, so my soul panted after thee. I mean, that's how the relationship needs to get. This is the point that we are, that we're making sure that we love God so much that we want more and more and more of him. And I'm just saying that just to say it. We need more until we live here. He says, he is the source of our life. He's our joy, our peace, our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding. He's our healing. He's our Father. He's everything that I have need of. God is. That is a reality. If God is not that real to you, then you will have, what are you going to look at? Because he has to be that real to you that is almost so real that you can touch it. It has to be so real to you that you can talk to him and he talk back to you. It has to be real to you, because that's what faith is. It's the substance. It's the reality that I can almost touch him. When we pray, when we sing, when we praise him. And we're not praising something there and way out there 2,000 years ago. He's alive and he's here right now. And you can touch him. And that's a relationship that we have to have need. Not only in church, at home, at work, wherever we go. Like brother was saying, we worship him by testifying of the goodness of him. That's how we tell who loves him and who don't love him. So, he's our source of life. Understanding is a real thing. So, in Psalm 119, 131 says, I opened my mouth and I panted, for I long for thy commandments, for thy word. So it comes to the point that if God is not a reality in your life, then there's something out of, I guess, not real. If it's not real, it's not real. Something is not happening. God has to come so real in your life that you should be able to tell someone else. They're not going to believe you. They're going to think you're crazy, but that has nothing to do with anything. Because nobody has seen God, but it's so real to you that you can talk to others about it. If you're ashamed to talk to him, he really is not real to you. You're just playing. He has to come so real that you have to die to yourself. People say, but you're crazy. You know, we're not crazy. You know, we know who is the source of life. It's him. Without him, we are nothing. So when you come with that kind of an attitude, then you will see God wherever he's at. I know God is somewhere. God is right here. You know, the denomination, I was listening at a song. And my wife put sometime some gospel. And they were singing, we want to be, like we sing a song, we want to be where you are. But where he at? I mean, he's not way out there or 2,000, or out there in heaven. I want to be where you are. Where he's at? Right. That's how real it has to be. See, the denomination, they're looking for him way out in the future. They're looking for the back. But he said, I know where he's at. He's right here. Why? Because that is a reality. He has made himself real to me. I don't care what anybody think, but I know if I need to look for God, I need to go in myself and look for him and pray to him and talk to him. And let him teach me. That's how real it comes. That's when they said in that day, when they tell you Christ is here, Christ is there, he says, don't even follow. Because I know where Christ is. He's here. What do I need to run? You know, people run through and fro looking for reality. If the reality is not inside, you're not going to find it. Because he has to be that real to you, that he's inside you, that he lives in you, and he manifests himself through you. Once we settle that, then you don't have to be running anywhere. It doesn't matter who tell you here, there, go here. The reality, it is in you. And I hope it's real to you tonight. He says, someone open, yes, it's where, let me. Sometimes the iPad will be a little better, I don't know. So, it is substance, it's the essence, it's a reality. This is not a dream, this is not fantasy, this is not some little, you know, children's story, this is a reality. God is alive and well, and he lives in this church, and he lives in you. And when we come to church, we don't come to church just to come and see each other. We come to church to bring him to church. Because the more of you, the more of him is in church. Amen. It says the evidence. This is the next thing that the definition said. The evidence is the conviction of things not seen. Yeah, you know, sometimes Paul says over here in Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen, it's not hope. For what man seeth, what do he yet hope for? So, we are looking at the unseen. Because if you can see it, it's no longer hope. See? So, we are looking at the unseen. We reach there. You know, even we don't see it, but we can feel it. You know? Sometimes, it's more than that. Sometimes you know that you know that you know. That you have a conviction in your heart that the healing is done. That what you needed is done. You know why? Because that's beyond what you see with your eye. Faith has to reach in their own sin. You know that man that was blind for a week? Well, it took him a week, but he got prayed on a Sunday or whatever it was, Saturday, and he went testifying, I can see, I can see. He could see. Because that was a reality to him. Not here, here. Now, people were looking at here, at the flesh. But he was looking at something more beyond the flesh that his faith went in and reached and got a promise saying, I am healed. It doesn't matter what people said. If they make fun, they criticize, and he says, I can see. And when you get hold to that kind of a faith, anything can happen. But it's a conviction. The Holy Ghost brings a conviction, a revelation. You know, Brother Brown says it's just like having a token, a quarter. Well, bread don't cost a quarter any longer anyway. Probably $2-3 for a pound of bread. But he said it was a quarter for some bread. And it is just like potentially you have it. Or you got to get to the store and you can get your bread. But God will give you a sign, a conviction in your heart that it is done and it is finished. All you have to is wait patiently for it. But when you know that you know that you know that it is done, it is done. And that's the kind of conviction. And that's the kind of evidence that you look if you have faith. You know, nobody has, you don't have to come every time an evangelist come or a pastor come. You know, people said, well, I got prayed for so and so. And then another evangelist come and they get prayed for the same thing. Well, did you believe the first time? How many preachers we need to pray for you to believe? It is you do believe or you don't believe. It is God convicted you in the service through his word that this is your promise and it's yours and you can have it. Let me tell you something. Brother Man says, God cannot take his word back. God cannot renege on his word. If you want the Holy Ghost, you come and get it. And if you don't get it, it's not his fault. Because he will not take his word. He says, I will give you the Holy Ghost. Come and get it. And if you don't get it, then it's not his problem. Something is in your life or your life. Just make it right. Maybe you're doubting. You need more faith. Got to increase your faith. But anyway, God promised something, and if you come with the right attitude, the right faith, and hoping, and you love God sincerely, honestly, God cannot renege on you. Say, well, you know, I was just playing. God don't play. So if you need the Holy Ghost, you know, I don't know who made this thing about terror. Terry until. I talked to some people in this message, says, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting until I get the Holy Ghost. But you want the Holy Ghost? Your life is right. Everything is correct. You can get it right now. He didn't put a time limit on it. Now what we're using is the same thing that happened in the upper room. But that was the upper room. Listen, you can have the Holy Ghost if you're ready. If your heart is ready and your face is ready, you can have whatever you want. You can, all you have to do is believe. The Bible said if two can agree concerning anything, Brother Branham says, if two of you can come together concerning the rapture, it will happen. I guess it haven't happened. There's no two of you that have that kind of faith yet, not even me. I mean, that's why he said, if two can come together agreeing on the rapture, it will happen. Because God cannot lie. I know that it's a little bit more complicated than that, you know, until the last one get in. But the point is that you can have what you need, what you want, if you just believe. All things are possible. He cannot lie to you. All you have to do is just come with the right heart, with the right attitude, and you can get it. And if you don't, let's pray some more about it. Why? Because God cannot lie. He cannot lie. You want your children, you want your husband, you want your loved ones. God cannot lie. But you have to believe. And you have to love them. And you have to love God. And you have to hope. This says, so what the world hopes is not in Christ. And I know they are not in Christ because they worship their own imagination. They said they have a form of godliness or God, but they're denying the power that is going to change them. You know, that's the Holy Ghost that brings conviction, you know, and bring all the things that we need in order to believe. But, you know, they're having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And they sing a lot of songs. You know, like I was saying, I want to be where you are. Well, they're looking for God there and everywhere. Would I like to be there? I'm waiting for your coming. He already came. Potentially, he's here. He already came. I'm just waiting for a change of body. That's all I'm waiting for. In the meantime, I pursue love, I pursue hope, and I pursue faith in my life for that day. So, Jeremiah 3:10, these evil people which refuse to hear my words. So they put them out of the church. So you think that they're looking for Christ? Which walk in the imagination of their hearts. You have to excuse me, I have a little whatever it was this week and I still got my voice. Anyway, and walk after other gods. You know, Catholic Church, and I'm not saying nothing bad, it's just the way it is. They worship idols, and some in the denomination, they worship idols too. They worship man. They don't know that. So he says, to serve them and worship them shall even be as the gero, whatever you pronounce that, which is good for nothing. So see, they are where they are thinking and waiting for the Redeemer. They call Redeemer and they say he's going to come. But if he hasn't come, if the Holy Ghost hasn't come, you know, they're not waiting. They're going to be left behind. Because their heart is not in the right place. See? And then Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. So a heart that is unregenerated cannot produce anything else but flesh. And if they don't have the Holy Ghost and they put the word out, what do you think is ruling them? Reasoning, logic, imaginations. It's all it is. So they sin and they sin and they can worship. I'm not saying that they don't reap the benefit of believing. Let me tell you what the Bible said. You can be baptized in the name of Allah, in the name, you know, Matthew 20:19, I think it is the last verse. You can be baptized in that. And he said, and I will be with you to the end. That's the only promise on that baptism. And he is with them to the end of this age. But in the other baptism, he says, you know, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will be what? In you, I will give you the Holy Ghost. So what baptism do you want? Do you want him in you, or do you want him with you? And that's the difference. And as long as God is with them, and they can claim the word, and they can believe the word, God will do things for them. But God is not in them. So, an example is Enoch. Enoch was the type of the bride. And in Genesis 5:24, we see that Enoch walked with God. And he was not. Now, what kind of a walk was that? It was a faith walk. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. See? Never question the word of God. He walked, he had a walk with him. He has a relationship with him. You know? He believed God. And then in Hebrews 11:15, said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had a testimony, a witness, that he pleased God. So, he had a walk in his journey, and he not only had a walk, but he had a testimony that goes with his walk. That he loved God, that he had faith in God, and he hoped for what he hoped for is to go with him, and that's what happened at the end. That's what we was hoping. And you and I, we're in this journey. And we are by faith, we love God, and we are hoping one of these days to make it to our eternal life, to Mount Zion, it will be. So, leadership, 65:12-7, she said, he said, I wonder myself till I found out. Over in Africa, where they come from, where the Boers bought them over here and sold them for slave. Over there, his father is a king of the tribe. He's talking about this slave that was in the plantation, and somebody wanted to buy some slave. And he said, but I like that one. He acts different. He walks different. He does different than the rest of them. What, do you feed him better? He sleep. He has a good bed, No, he just do the same thing the rest of them do. But he said, father is a king of the tribe, and yet an alien away from home. He knows he is the son of a king, so he conducts himself that way. And Enoch walked with God, and he conducted himself that way. I'm not saying things are going to happen. You know, sometimes we fail, sometimes we fall. But you know, you don't stay there. You get up, you shake yourself, you get the dust out, and you continue walking like a son of God. See? And that is the walk that we want. We want a walk that we can walk by faith and believe God. You know, the devil comes to tell you all kind of things. You did this, you did that. It doesn't matter. Just listen. The small God in you that is in the world. I don't care what Satan come and tell you. The small God in you than whatever sin is besetting you. It is greater than your sin. You know what? The small God in every situation that you go through. But we look at our flesh. We look at the situation, at the circumstances. We are walking. But I tell you what, everything that happened to you in your life and in my life, it is for a reason. It is not because Satan is trying to get one over you or he wants to do something. God allow him because God is doing something in your life. And he's going to use Satan. He's a tool. So every time you go through a circumstance, every time you go through a journey and something happens, there's more God in that situation that you can see of Satan. But then we want to give credit to Satan. You know, first, second, and third pool. But you know what? If you look at the situation with the right eyes of faith, God is working in you. And he will use that situation, you know, to give you more character, to make you a better. Okay? So don't tell me that that little situation is going to control your life when you have a greater God that is allowing all this for his own reason and purpose in your life to make you a better Christian. So who is winning here? Okay, I fail, I fall. Okay, sorry, Lord. Get up, shake yourself, you know, and move on. You're still a son of God. And that is the love of God. And we're going to get to that in a minute. So, and we get up and we walk because we know we are the son of a king. And we conduct ourselves as such. It doesn't matter what happened in our life. Now, hope is the last one. It's not the last one. We talk about faith and hope. What is hope? Hope is the vision. You know, hope is a heavenly vision. Brother Brown said, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. You know, if we don't have a vision, we perish. Right? That's what the Bible says. My people, if they don't have a vision, they perish. You know, you have to have a vision. You have to have faith, but faith has to look at something. And what is my hope? My hope is a change of body. My hope is eternal life. My hope is my salvation to spend with him the rest of my life. Faith has to look at something. And that's hope. See? And God has given us that hope. He says, let's see what I lose my place. So what we need is to keep our eyes on the goal. See? That is Jesus Christ. Because we sing to be like him. To be like him, he's the author, like brother was preaching, of our hope. So our faith looks to him. We look to his word. That's my hope. You know, if it wasn't for his word, I don't know what I will be right now. I will have no hope. People in the world, they don't have no God, no Christ, and no hope. And that's what we need to talk to them. Witness to them with our life that there is a hope. Brother Andy was talking about worship, testifying that you don't have to stay that way. There is a hope. And that is my vision. My vision is not love divine. My vision is not that or here or there. My vision is Christ. That's what I don't have to be tossed to and fro. Why? Because I know where I'm going. I know where I came from. My faith is looking to that hope. That hope of life. See? So you have to have that. You have to have love or you have to have faith. That looks at that hope, you know, that is eternal in your life. Hope is the vision. What are you looking at? What is your vision? Just to come to church, check a box, and feel happy? If that's all the vision it is, there must be something greater than you and me. There has to be something greater than all this, and that is him. And that is my hope. My hope is that he's going to change me to his own image. The way he saw me at the beginning, he's going to change me. That is my hope. You think I'm wasting my time? No. You know what? I'm here because he said that he will change me. And that's my hope. And my faith looks at that hope. That is my vision. If a church don't have a vision, it will perish. I know Brother Doug is heavy on his vision. And if you don't know the vision of the church or the group, then He posted some things out there. Read it. But we have a vision. Nevertheless, our vision is Christ. Brother Branham came to point us to Christ, not to himself. That is my hope. I want to be like him. And I want to conduct myself here like him. That's my hope. So my faith looks at my hope. Hope is my vision. It says, is the author of our hope, yeah, and hope or expectation. Hope is your expectation. What are you expecting when you come to church? Where is your hope? Amen. That's what your hope is. You know, God, I'm coming, and I'm not just hoping that you do something for me today. Please, you know, last week that you did that for the sister, that brother, but can you do something? Hope is not a wishing thing. You have an expectation when you walk through those doors. See, because your face is looking at some hope, at a vision of God to do something for you. Amen. So it's an expectation as Christian. You know, we have confidence. That's why we have confidence when we come to church. Because we're not looking at a man. We are looking at him, at Jesus Christ. That is our expectation. We want him to become a reality in our lives. And that's why we come to church and we preach. Why? So that word will take flesh. And when I come to church, that's my expectation. Let that word, like Mary said, let it be unto me. You know, I don't want to live here the same way I came in. I just go home and just stay home. Every time I come to church, my expectation is I need to be changed. I don't care if it's just a little today, a little tomorrow, but sooner or later, I want to be changed completely. That requires for you to have faith in some kind of a vision, in some kind of expectation. We don't come to church just to have some fun, and that's good enough, and enjoy the gift, and enjoy the music, and enjoy the preaching. It's more than that. It is Christ becoming flesh. Amen. So we have to have a vision, and we all have to have the same vision, not only about the hope and expectation, but that also to become one. In one mind, in one accord. This is not a one-man show. You're not one island to your own self. This is a group. This is a body move. So you have something to do. We're going to discuss this a little bit more. We all have something to do. See, we don't just come to church just for ourselves. In fact, we come to church for others. But I'll get that in a minute. Hope is a vision. It's a heavenly vision. It's a vision of a rapture. It could happen tonight. Did you envision that when you came to church that it might happen? Or did you just came, let's see who's going to preach? What happened if it happens tonight? Because that's what I want. That's my vision. I change your body. It's okay with me if he wants to change it right now. But see, Israel, the Jew, when they were out there in captivity, when they were there in all over the world, every year they said, next year, Jerusalem. Next year, Jerusalem. You should come. Next service, the rapture. Next service, what are you looking at then? What is your hope based on? Why are you coming to church? I mean, don't set yourself so low. I mean, just put a way out there that you cannot reach it so he can take you that way. If you don't come to service hoping that this is the last service and this is the last preaching, I don't know where you're coming from. Because it won't be another one if this is the last one. And if you're looking for the last one, you ain't going to find it because this is the last one. You hear me? Yeah. This is the last service today. I don't know. Yesterday's gone and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But tonight, this is the last service. Amen. Now, if this is the last service, where are your attitude and your mind to? What should you be doing? If this was the last service, what do you think Christ should be doing? Huh? Expecting a change of body. Making all things right. So that can happen. But it's not going to happen. See? You think that way. You know what happened? It's not going to happen. Because you and I can't even come together in one accord. I just need one more person to agree with me that the rapture will happen tonight. I know it's more complicated than that, but all I'm saying is, it's a mental attitude. It's an expectation. It's a hope that your faith is looking at. When you come to church, what is your faith is looking at? At the unseen. You see the angels? The spirit, the presence of God is here. He is here. So you're reaching way out there where nobody else can see. Your face is reaching everywhere. Or we just come into church just to see each other. But if I see you and I see you, that's not hope, Brother Carbo. That's what. Right. I cannot hope in you coming to church. My hope is not in to see you. My hope is in to see him. That cannot be seen. You see, we look at each other. We want to use it as a measurement stick, but that's not hope. But he looks better than me, and he just also, and he come to church, and he gets in the spirit. If that's what you're looking at, that's not hope. You're looking at it. You need to look at something that only can be seen by faith. Then you can have hope. Then it says, and the Bible says in Romans 3:5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience. See? So everything is working for your benefit. There's more God when that is happening than you think. God has not left you, God has not gone away, the Spirit is with you. There's more God in that situation than what you think. Oh, but I don't know what to do. I came to the end of my rope. No, you haven't come to the end of my rope, because when it's time, he will turn the light on. He will pull you out. It is all an exercise, a test of patience. Because at the end, he will show up. He will show up. He says, and not only so, but glory in tribulation. And patience brings experience, and experience brings what? Hope. You know why people have sometimes done, they had the hope misplaced? Because to have hope, you have to be like Abraham. You have to be patient for the promise. Like that blind guy. He didn't know when he was going to get his sight. That doesn't matter to him. He was patient. But patience brings what? Experience. Every time that you wait for God and he comes, you experience something new. You experience a little bit more of God. And the more you experience of God, it says, it brings you what? Hope. See, because now you know what you're looking at. That was my expectation. I was patient, and that's what I was looking for. And I waited, and I waited. And when he came, I had an experience with him. And now my hope will not disappoint me any longer, because I know it's real. He's real, and my expectations are real. And he says, let me turn this page. Time is running, huh? Okay. And hope make it not ashamed. So I'm not ashamed of my hope, because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's talk about contending for our faith. Jude 1:3. Let's talk about faith a little bit more. We're going to put it all together at the end. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. In another word, to encourage you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend, not passively contend. Earnestly, you come to church, you earnestly contending. What did that mean? Earnestly means that you have a serious intentions. You know, before that, earnestly contend is like a struggle, you know, when you're trying to contend for something. You want something and you're going to, you know, whatever it is, every step I take, I'm going to fight for every step and I'm going to keep it. So you have to actually struggle. You know, this is not a picnic. Everything that we need, we're going to have, everything that we need, you're going to have to struggle for it. So this is, don't think that church is a place that, you know, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun, but there's more struggle in life than there's fun for a Christian. You struggle. You earnestly contend, you know, and you have to have a serious intentions. You know, you struggle with the devil. You have to resist the devil. The Bible says resist the devil and he will what? That is a struggle into himself. You have to fight your flesh. You have to fight everything that comes to you. But he said you have to struggle. Contend for that. For the faith that is in you. You know? That you resist the devil and he will go. And everything that opposes God, you know? We have to stay away from it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalted himself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of what? Of Christ. You're going to have to struggle with your mind. In fact, I'll give you a tip. If you leave your mind outside, you don't have to struggle with it anymore. Brevan says, why don't you throw yourself out? You know, your thoughts, we don't need your thought, and you don't need my thought. All I need is his thought. So why would you come in church and be miserable? Because you're struggling, and not with God's word, you're struggling with your own thoughts, with your mind. You need to resist your mind. You need to resist your thought and your ideas, and you need to cast them out. Because a man sometimes think that, you know, man lean to certain understanding. And at the end of that is death. You know, do not lean, you know, in your understanding. And if you come to church and you haven't lost your mind, you're still struggling with your mind. You know, I'm not your enemy. You are your own enemy, your mind. So this is a struggle. You got to struggle with your mind. You have to struggle with your body. You have to struggle with Satan. This is not an easy walk. But we have a promise and we have a hope and we have a faith. Because we are not doing this in ourselves. And Paul says, you know, you have to bring on to captivity. So, you know, the only one that tells you lies is the devil. God will not lie to you. God loves you. You think God wants to destroy you or make you miserable? You make yourself miserable. We make ourselves miserable. Why? Because we want to take our thought intake instead of taking his thoughts. No, but they did to me and they criticized me. So what? When we get to love, we're going to find out that you must love even the one that want to kill you. Somebody, brother, don't preach. So what that had to do with anything? Oh, but they said wrong things about me. Well, so what? You still got to love the person. You're going to need to throw all that out. But I'm not trying to be insensitive. It did happen. But what are you going to do with it? Make yourself miserable? Or just throw it out and love the person? But I know the person did it. Yeah, and the person told you that he did it. So what? What are you going to do with that? You're going to outcast him? Not talk to him? That's not a Christian thing to do. That's not love. Love is to forgive. It says it's a struggle. It's a serious intention. You have to have a serious intention. That means you have to have the right purpose and the right meaning. When you come to church, you have to have the right mental attitude, intention. Why do you come to church? How many of you do things without purposeless? Even our life has to have meaning. Our life has to have purpose. When we come to church, we better have purpose. We do things not because we don't have nothing else to do. You know, I got a lot of things on Sunday. I don't need to come to church. I find a lot of things to do. But that's not my intention. My life, that's not the meaning of my life. I have a high calling. See? There's a lot of people in this mission, they don't have no serious intentions. Because if they had the right purpose, and they had the right heart in the right place with the right meaning of life and meaning of what all this is all about, you know, God came down and loved me. He didn't have to love me. He could have let me where I was so he can give my life meaning and purpose and intention. And when I don't come, what I'm saying, but that's not that important. That's not my purpose in life. But what is your purpose in life? If it's not to die out and let him have control of your life, that's, to me, it's all it is to it. But you know what? We fight. We struggle with ourselves. We struggle with our flesh. I'm not saying that you're tired on Wednesday or things happen. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about we need to make a choice. Either your mind or his mind. In fact, you don't have a thought coming to you, might as well throw your mind out. And you say, but I got good thought. I don't care how good thought, it's still a filthy rag. What can you bring to God? What can you bring to the service in your own? Nothing. Nothing. So throw that out. Just bring him when you come. He says, sincerity. Brother Brown talks about sincerity. Earnestly contending means that you have to be serious, that you have to be sincere. Brother Brannan was told to be more sincere. What about you and me? Sincere and patience like Abraham. You know, that's things that we heard throughout life. But that is what it takes to contend, to struggle. You have to have the right man in the right place with the right purpose, with the right meanings. You have to have patience and you have to have sincerity in order to get these things. That's contending. It looks good in paper, contend for the faith. Yeah, but okay, I'm contending for the faith. I believe in Brother Branham, the prophet. I believe the message. That is not contending. Contending is when you throw your all into the pan. Not just half of you. It says, patient like Abraham. Who is this? Brother Branham said, I said, then you realize you are dying. Now, Brother Branham was talking to Brother Bosworth. And he was dying at the time. He was old. So he went to visit him. And this is what he's saying. Then you realize you are dying, he told Brother Bosworth. Because Brother Bosworth says, I'm not dying. You know, I'm just going home. Well, what a faith. Says, I am okay. But Brother Brown says, if you're going home, then you're dying. He says, I want to ask you something. Back down through the 70-some odd years of ministry, what has been your most glorious minute? Could you speak to me, sir, and tell me what experience you had down along the line that you could count your greatest hour? I shall live to see his age. I never forget. And those dark eyes caught me over the top of those glasses. And he said, my dear brother, this is the greatest moment of my life. I cannot think of any time that was any more glorious than right now. You're waiting for some other glorious day to come? Why can't you make this one the last glorious days? And if we have another one, fine, then we make that one the last glorious day. We're always looking for something big to come. He already came. He's here. You know? And then when we go through situation, his man is dying. He says, this is why? Because in that situation of dying, he was going home. And he knows who's going to pack him home. The angel's going to. So he's looking for, this is all he lived. That was his meaning. That was the purpose of his whole life. Is to go home. And what is yours? In the meantime, we serve the Lord. And we do what he called us to do. I told Brother Doug, and he put, ha ha, he laughed when I text him. Because we were talking about something. And I said, Brother Doug, if I die before the rapture happened, you can bury me. And you put in my, you know, stone, you know, well-deserved rest. Then I can rest. We were talking about resting. I said, I will rest when I die. I don't have no time to rest right now. So I said, if I die before the rapture, just put there, gone to his rest. You know what? What a glorious thing. You and I, we think death is something bad. It's just, the wagon, the horse, and the carriage that's going to take us home. This man says, this is my today. You know what happened to some of us? Maybe not here. We got the Holy Ghost 40 years ago, and we're still looking 40 years ago. If that was your best, glorious time, what about today? What about now? Are you going to sit here and you're not going to make it your best, glorious day? Or are you going to wait for next Sunday? We're going to talk about that in a minute. Waiting. It says, my dear brother, the greatest moment of my life, I cannot think of any time that was any more glorious than right now. You know that every time you take a step towards God, that is your glorious day. And you come to church Sunday and that will be another step. You won't be the same. So that is your glorious day. You don't have to look backwards. You didn't even have to look backward when you got the Holy Ghost. You have to look at now. The more that He refresh you and teach you and care and love you and make you and change you. You know, I don't look 40 years ago. I'm looking at right now, tonight. Lord, this is the best. And if it's not come, then the best will be next time we meet or tomorrow when I wake up. If I wake up, I don't have no assurance. It says, so people, you know, kind of fear these things. They fear temptation, they fear tribulation, they fear death, knowing that it is something that God is doing in order to promote character in your lives, to bring that character in your life. There's two things, there's two meanings to fear, you know. I read this, I forgot the name, the guy that wrote it, but he says, you can do two things. Forget everything and run. Or face everything and rise. That's the two meanings of fear. You got faith, but if you fear, you cripple. So when you cripple, you just do nothing. You paralyze the work of, you know that brother says, when you fear, you paralyze the work of God. Why don't we face what comes our way? Like that man, like that black man, he was the son of God. He faced every day like he was a son of a king. You know what? We don't have to be ashamed of our hope. We don't have to be ashamed of who we are and what we are. And the way we dress and the way we look, even now the world are saying that we are, you know, Quakers or whatever. That's what a friend used to tell me. You guys look like Quakers. I said, well, so I don't care. I just want to be right with the Lord. I don't care what I look like. I need a refresh. Okay. So that is fear. It will paralyze you. I better hurry up. So let's get to love, because I want to get done in about 20 minutes. Okay. And the only thing I want to say about love. What is the measure of love? Anybody knows? What is the measurement of love or the measure of love? It's when you can love somebody without measure. How many are there yet? No, that's what I said. I'm not there yet, but I want to be there. He loved us without, no, I mean, there was no condition. And I sure do a lot of things wrong sometimes, but He still loves me, and He will forgive me. Now, when you get to that point when somebody do to you something, and you can love everybody unconditionally, you got it. Because that is the kind of love that is going to be there. See? Yeah, but they did this to me and that to me. So what? You know, our children do all kind of things to me. I still love them, and they're still, you know, with me until they grow. You know, we all together like children. The Bible says, unless we become like childlike, you know, if somebody do something to you, you know, defame your name or whatever you want to call it, the worst thing that anybody can do to you, you still got to love your enemy. You still got to love those that curse you. You still have to love those that blaspheme you. You still have to love those that do against evil things against you. Now, what are left out? Somebody lied against me, but I didn't leave. That's someone there saying evil things about you. You know what you need to do? If you love that person unconditionally, then you have a right. That means the measure of love is without measure that we love somebody else. But that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. I've been living with my wife for 40 years, and we got there already. She do things to me, I do things to her, but we still love each other. We haven't run away from each other. I mean, you're talking about unconditional love. You know, I know I do things that she throws stuff at me for doing them. No, she don't throw stuff at me. But, you know, come night, we make things right, and, you know, we don't have to be out. I don't have to be out in a doghouse or something like that. The same thing in church, you know. If you love God, you have to love your brother unconditionally. This is not just a saying, a phrase that feels good. Well, I love God, so I love my brother. How? Without measure. It doesn't matter what they do to you. You should go to him and say, hey, I understood what you did to me and you confess it, but I still love you. But now coming to church and he's coming this way and you're going that way. That's not love. So even if you have faith and even if you have hope, if you cannot love somebody without measure, you're still not there yet. It's going to require those three things. And I'm almost finished. That's all I wanted to say about love. And Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time. And then when he came back, he says, the only thing that is going to be there is love divine. Same thing that John. Oh, how amazing. Prophet went out there. And when he came back and he wrote all these and all these seals and all this stuff. And he came back, you know, he says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning. That you should love one. Nothing has changed. Everybody said, love divine. And John says, it's love. Without measure. Should be able to forgive and love our brothers and sisters. Conclusion, I got to finish. Sometimes people at church, they want more coffee shops today, you know. If they don't want coffee shop, they need a new song on an old song. Well, I don't like that song. It doesn't matter. Sometimes they want a good program for the children. Sometimes they need something else. Oh, let's do a road trip, whatever. You know, churches are full of stuff these days. But people, more than anything else, what they need is other people. Now think about this. People can live here, but where do you think they go? To join some other people. You cannot get away from that. People will need people. They do not need a new church. They think they're going to someplace else, but you know what they're looking? For people. We cannot get away from that. See, you're going to need people. And we need to be the person, you know, to that other person. Now, what I'm saying is, when you come to church, do you come here so people can do something for you? Or so can you do something for somebody else? Actually, you should be the person that the other person needs. When you come to church, you know, somebody is tired and somebody is hurting and somebody is depressed. You know, you should be that person that comes to church to help that other person. See, we come to church and we think this is me. This is not you. This is nothing had to do with you. It had to do with the other person next to you. You create an atmosphere so somebody else can be blessed, even if you don't get blessed. See, you're going to need other people, but the people, you need to be the person that the other people need when they come to church. People come to church with all kind of, they need healing. They got depression. They got stress. You know? And you and I are supposed to be here to serve them. That is the only reason I'm here, is to serve other people. So someone has to be the one that will come to church and be a living, breathing invitation to someone else that things are going to be better, you know? Or sometimes we come to church and we look like, you know, well, I'm here, so what else? Hey, I made it. What does you want me to do? I came from far. Let me enjoy myself. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes, well, I'm going to wait until that sister over there jumps or the service gets on fire. And then when everybody get all work and the spirit come, and then I'm going to jump in the fire. I'm going to jump in the, you know. See, sometimes we come to church and we're expecting somebody else to work things out. But you come to church to help that other person. And when we serve others, when we help others, Brother Brown says, we see heaven's open door. See, this is not about you. You come to church to help someone else. Your expectation, your attitudes, your ways, your hope, your faith has to be, you know, in place. Like I was talking, love, so you can help someone else. It's all it is to. Jesus came to die for me. He didn't care for himself. He left everything, glory and everything. He came just to look for me. Just to love me and to take me out of that muddy place. clean me up. So would you come to church and let our life witness to somebody else? You can have that too. But we need to create the atmosphere. You know, we are not strangers here to one another. If you come to church and you leave church and that's all it is, and you didn't talk to nobody and you didn't shake nobody's hand and you just came and went, oh, I went to church and I'm in the message, a good deal. We come here because we care about one another. And you should come to church, and I should come to church and trying to find out what can I do to the other so they can have an expectation tonight. That they can have a better, you know, service. Oh, no, when the service gets better, then I get into it. Why don't you make it a good service so somebody else can get into it? Brother Brown says, bless Grand Prairie. Lord, bless its ministers. Bless the people. God, I pray that you will make them angels of mercy, angels of light. Grant it, Lord. For we are living in the closing. Well, that was then. Imagine now. Since now. Soon you shall come and we will see him. All troubles will be over then. Until then, Father, keep us anointed with thy love and thy spirit, giving us the breath of life that we might serve others. Did he say, give me all that so I can feel happy and I live here? Oh, it was a great service. He says, it is this purpose who asks in our heart. That's what he's asking. And he was sincere. This is the purpose and the meaning and intention that I come to church so I can serve somebody else. I want to be that person to the other person that comes to church. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We must be willing to help others and see that others get the same blessing that we are getting. So you come to church, you want to be blessed? The same blessing that you want, why don't you help to somebody else to get that blessing? Oh, but I want it for me. Well, if you give it away, it might return double. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. You don't know the joy it is not to help yourself, but to help others. You really have joy then when you can help somebody. I know that you know what I am talking about. So what reason do we come to church? Now we have love, we got faith, we have hope, and what are we going to do with all that? We're going to help others with that. Amen. If you have faith and you don't have no love, you might help somebody, but it profits you nothing. And if you have hope and faith and you don't have no love, or you have faith and have no hope, it profits you nothing. So my thing today was, you need these three things. And the closest we get to the capstone, to the rapture, these three things should be in church. Yeah, we talk about give. You know, get these three things that the rest of it will come. That was what Brother Brown said. Give me love, the rest of it will come. Amen. Let's see what else I got. Well, I think that was my last. I guess everything is gone. Amen. Can you stand? There was in the pool of Bethesda. It was a man that was crippled. His faith was crippled. His hope was crippled. And he wanted no one to love the guy to do anything about it. And there's some people that come to church the same way. You musician, you can come because I keep talking. But he waited. And he prayed, oh, Lord, I need you. Some people come to this church with the same prayer. I need you. And I come here because I'm seeking God for some reason. But you know what? They can be there and they can be there in that situation like that man, crippled. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. But what happened? Here comes Jesus. And Jesus loved that man. But today, Jesus should be manifesting himself through a church. And what you'll be doing is helping others, love others, so they can be blessed just as much as you want to be blessed. Amen. I remember those guys that they opened a hole in the roof and brought this guy that was paralytic down. Four guys. Hey, at least he had four friends. How many of us have taken time to help somebody? I mean, these guys, I don't even know who they were. I don't even they knew him. Maybe his friends. What a nice thing. Brought him all the way down so he can be what? So he can be blessed. And he has his blessing. And that's what the church is doing here today. When you have love, faith, and hope, you can be blessed to somebody else. And that is the witness in that day. Before that rapture, Brother Branham said that God is going to display the bride. What is going to display? Love, faith, and hope. He's going to say, hope, this is what I've been telling you all these years. He's going to tell, see, that's what they had hope for. And they waited patiently. And they were obedient to my word. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we adore you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our brothers and sisters, Father, that without them, there couldn't be no church. It's a body move, and we need to come to the point, Father, that when this church is full of love and faith and hope, then we can start helping others. That's just like Abraham. Abraham could not help Lot. He was not there yet. But we want to be there. We want to be manifesting those three things, the great things, so we can then help somebody else. We cannot help someone if we have not arrived ourselves. When Abraham got there, then God led them to go and help his nephew Lot. Father, we are coming to the stretch now. This is it. Father, I pray that you help us, Lord, to increase our faith in your word, to give us the love for one another and for you, Father. Because the love that we have for you, we should have for one another, Father. Unconditional love, Father. We should forgive and we should love one another, Father, and forget everything. Because that is what makes a church. A church that has a vision of a rapture. It has faith and love for others. Father, we love you. And we ask you to take these broken words, Father, and just the purpose that you've spoken through this vessel, it will come to pass. You know what the meaning and all these things are. Father, thank you again. And be with our pastor. Father, be with those that are sick, needy. Father, I pray for them. I join my faith. I love them. I love this church. I love this family. And that's what is I serve, is because for love. Father, we increase our love, Father. You have given us love abundantly in our hearts. Help us, Lord. Help us to give you the liberty to manifest yourself through us. It's all you want. Because you don't push and you don't force. But help us to let go and let you use this vessel so it can be a blessing to somebody else, Father. And that is the greatest manifestation, Brother Branham said. Faith, love, and hope. It will be manifested before that great day that we are looking for. Fill us. Fill this vessel, Lord, with your love and your faith and your hope, Father. Your word. Father, I ask all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many want to be like him? That is my expectation. That is my goal. Make me. It takes faith to do that. Oh, make me more like thee. Jesus, make it your prayer. More like thee. To love unconditional, without measure. Give a heart that filled with what? With him we love.